Hi, I'm going to read from Lemon, which is my eighth novel. Hard to believe, eight novels in 15 years. It's a little scary, but I feel lost when I'm not writing novels. So that's when people ask why I'm so prolific, I say, well, when I'm not writing a novel, I feel lost. So there you go. Lemon is 16, and I should warn you that there is some bad language in this excerpt, but I figure you can handle it. She's very different from usual girls. She's very much an outsider, and no piercings. She's not a babe, doesn't have a boyfriend. She wears baggy clothes and combat boots and a little. I always picture her, although this isn't actually in the novel, I always picture her in that one of those little hats everyone's wearing. I call them Fidel Castro hats. Chapter 1. If I hadn't been reading about a Jewish girl in Nazi Germany, I might have let Zippy kill me. This gets Bletcher scribbling in her notepad. I know it would. She's a psych major dropout turned guidance counselor, the only thing between me and another suspension. She tried to kill you, really? I nod, sucking on my Tootsie Pop. Let's talk about all your mothers. Bletcher always wants to talk. She learned that in Psych 101. I don't want to talk, especially about my mothers. It's not that I have anything against them. I don't go around blaming them for my inability to attend classes regularly or to find the meaning of life, but mental disturbances seem to be a recurring theme, if my current mother's crack up is any indication. Why would a student want to stab me? She keeps asking. The fact that she was the school principal eludes her, which is why another suspension must be avoided. Rattling around the house with Drew freaking over her stab wounds is no joyride. I keep sucking, staring at the mottos taped to the wall behind Bletcher's desk. Hang in there, one of them says. Tomorrow this will be yesterday, assures another. Time is the great healer. Beside the slogans are smiley faces. I endure Bletcher because our sessions keep me out of the halls crowded with buttheads, but the woman is seriously damaged. She dyes her hair orange and fries it with a curling iron to make it puff off her head. She wears little pointy shoes and stashes food and Tupperware in her desk. You can be talking about something personal, like how you wish you could develop an eating disorder, but you can't stop eating. And she'll reach into a drawer and pull out a cracker and one of those cheese triangles wrapped in foil. You'll have to sit there watching her tear the foil off the cheese in little tiny strips. Soon, the cubicle-sized office will stink of Bletcher's digestion. Pen ready, she looks probingly at me. Let's talk about how your first mother tried to kill you. Pills, plus a jump off the balcony, holding hands so we wouldn't be lonely. Well, how did you stop her? I said I was reading after Aunt Frank. I was hooked on persecuted Jewish girl stories. Compared to them, living with Zippy wasn't so bad. Or putrid Damien, for that matter. Shared custody meant I was in constant motion like the Jews. I had no homeland. Bletcher pats her puffed hair. Why do you think Zippy wanted to commit suicide? To teach Damien a lesson. He was always bumping uglies with other dames. The truth is, I considered pretending to swallow the pills, faking the jump, then shaking myself free of her, watching her body flail through the air in her fluffy bathrobe. But then I twigged to the awful truth that I'd be left all alone like the Jewish girl. Her father had gone into hiding, and her mother was constantly volunteering at the orphanage. Jews had been forbidden to attend German schools, so the girl had to hide out in the apartment all day. I love you more than anybody, mother, I said, which wasn't saying much, as I didn't love anybody except my hamster Alice, who'd died. But I understood that dramatics were required, that our death warrant was Zippy's cry for help. I dropped to my knees, grabbed her around the waist, and wailed into her bathrobe. I don't want to die, and I don't want you to die. Why do we have to die? Because nobody gives a fuck about us, honey bunch. Nobody gives a fuck. Bletcher twirls one of her gold stud earrings, winding up her brain. I spare her the sordid details of Zippy's debacle because Bletcher's one of those living in a Disney movie types who get hysterical when you reveal life's atrocities. It must have been terrifying for you, she says. I just wanted to finish my book. The Jewish girl was walking alone in streets full of Nazis. She bought sausages from an Aryans-only butcher. He even called her Liebling. I was scared shitless he would discover her true identity and snatch her bratwurst. You've always found solace in reading, haven't you? Fletcher's powers of observation continue to amaze. I only have a book on me 24/7. I love to read, she says, which is outrageous because the only thing she reads is Archie comics. She hides them in a New Yorker or something, so you'll think she's intellectual. How are you taking Archie tying the knot with Veronica? I ask, suspecting she's pro-Betty and pretty broken up about the wedding. We're here to talk about you, Limone. Now, what did Zippy do when you refused to cooperate? I distracted her by begging for another hamster. The Jewish girl begged her mother to promise she wouldn't send her away with the orphans to England. Promise me Mooty, she pleaded. But Mooty pushed her away and told her to finish her latke. Zippy didn't push me away, but the fluff on her bathrobe was tickling my nostrils. Thump, 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 bang through the wall as the neighbors cranked their stereo for another Friday night beer swill. If we made it through the night, Damien would be there in the morning, stinking in his Buick. We'd go to the Golden Griddle, and I'd stuff my face while he'd sweat over the sports section. I never told him about the botched double suicide. He'd already left Zippy anyway to shack up with Drew, who's ashamed of being a neat freak and tries to mess things up once in a while, do something really radical like leave her coat lying around. I'm a chronic slob, so there have been tensions between us. At first, Damien tried to get me to call Drew Mother. Drew didn't care what I called her. We got along all right, passing the shredded wheat and all that. Damien was busy bossing around illegal immigrants on construction sites, so Drew and I spent a lot of time alone in separate rooms. Mostly I read. Got into the dead Russians, especially Dostoevsky, because everybody in his books is so totally damaged. He must have been totally damaged. What with that secret society business, being sentenced to death and all that, then being carted off to Siberia? Bletcher digs around in a box of Ritz bits. Did Zippy get you another hamster? Negative. Well, how did that make you feel? She's wearing her concerned counselor expression, lips pursed, eyebrows merged. Best to diffuse things before she contacts Children's Aid. I watched Bob and Bing movies. Who? Hope and Crosby? Bletcher masticates Ritz bits, clearly ignorant of the 20th century's primo comic duo. I've got all the road movies. Bob lived to be 100. I think about that when I watch him being blown out of a cannon or something. I like movies made before 1950, when women had soft bodies and something to do in flicks besides stripping fake orgasms. Dorothy L'Amour never flashed her headlights. Rossi and Tora, my non-compass associates, can't stand anything that doesn't have sex or special effects. How can you watch black and white, they kvetch. When I tried to get them to sit through Harvey, Rossi said, is this supposed to be funny? Like anybody can see there's no rabbit. Well, maybe the rabbit shows up later, Tora suggested. James Stewart's all right, but Cary Grant's my man. I almost read his biography once, but decided I didn't want to know what a fuck-up he was, 25 wives and all that. I know he was born Archibald Leach, then remade himself as Cary Grant. I wouldn't mind doing something like that. You have your whole life ahead of you, Limone, Fletcher says, shaking the empty Ritz box. You should be full of hope and enthusiasm. It's hard to get enthusiastic when adults keep telling us everything sucks. When have you heard me speak negatively about anything? Oh, not you, the usual noddies who yak about the good old days before kiddie porn and pollution. When people left their doors unlocked and kids walked home alone. When employers paid benefits and didn't downsize every 3 seconds. This stumps her. She scribbles on her pad. These days, I continue slowly so she can get it all down. Unless you're a super brain or gorgeous, you're going to end up in some bottom feeder job at some corporation that's going to restructure every time you take a crap. If you make it through the first cuts, you might as well chain yourself to your cubicle because they're going to want your soul. That's why boys get into guns. It's easy and you can scare people who wouldn't give you a job interview if you offered to blow them. Well, maybe if you offered to blow them. There's no room out there, I say. It's way too crowded. What we need is more war and pestilence. You cannot, Bletcher says. You simply cannot expect to function with such a bleak outlook. I don't expect to function. You'll break your mother's heart. Which one?